You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Genesis chapter 7. Well, Genesis chapter 7 is a picture of the Gospel, is it not? Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, we'll begin reading it. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits is probably around 25 feet. So 25 feet above the highest peak on the face of the earth. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
150 days. From the time the flood started, to this moment, 150 days Noah was in that ark. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts. Lord, encourage us today and strengthen us in our faith in thee. Lord, as we trust in thee, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm quite confident that if I was to visit any one of your homes, and you were to allow me to go through your homes, and I were to look in closets or cabinets or down in the basement or out in the garage, I'm sure that whether it was mom or dad, husband, wife, lady, a man, I'm sure that I would find somewhere a project that you'd forgotten all about. Right? We've all got them, don't we? Right? Raise your hand if you're the one person that doesn't have a project that you isn't tucked away somewhere that you've forgotten about. And you know, open that closet. Oh, yeah. Wow. I started this 3 years ago. Now there's, well, only in the garage, not in the house, ladies, but now there's dust collecting on it. And all of a sudden you look over in your corner, you're cleaning out your garage. Oh yeah, I was going to do this with that. I was going to take this and make that. I was going to finish this. I was going to, a couple of years ago, oh, it was 2 summers ago, we had the kids all over and we had a go-kart and we were, oh, having a great time with that go-kart and, until I broke the axle. There is a certain weight limit. There's a reason why there's weight limits on go-karts, by the way. It's because if they don't have shocks and you are of the weight limit, the axle will break
Well, we fixed that, and then later on, the bearings went, the carburetor went, and it just sat in the garage. And just about a couple of weeks ago, I said, I went out, and I was cleaning the garage, and I said, wow, I ought to get that go-kart fixed for the kids for this summer. Didn't take long to fix it. I mean, I looked and got the part and got the bearing. It didn't only took a few hours to fix it, but it was almost 2 years that it just sat there and collected dust. And then all of a sudden I said, I ought to get this fixed. Noah's been 150 days on the ark. The winds, the rain, the floods. And 40 days into it, the rain stops and the wind stops. The rain stops and the floods stop, but that ark is still on top of the waters, 25 feet above the face of the earth. The wind is still going. And yet I want you to read verse number 1 of chapter 8. Verse number 1, the very first thing that it says. 150 days. And then it says this. And God remembered Noah. Now that's not saying that God forgot. Because God doesn't forget. But after those 150 days, now the story shifts to the life of Noah. And God taking care of Noah. And God remembered Noah. You see, unlike us, God never forgets a project that He starts. God never loses sight of it. It never gets lost in a corner or in a basement or in a garage. God is always working, always mindful, always aware, always working. And continuing work. But many times we need to be assured of that, reminded of that, and see that. This is what I want us to see this morning. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 8. Because Noah has been in the ark 150 days. And that ark has been just on top of the on top of the waves as the rain has come down, as the floods have come up. The Bible doesn't say anything about the conversations that took place in that ark. It's silent. Then all of a sudden it says, and God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. And I want us to see this morning so that we understand that those words that were spoken in Genesis chapter 8 are very much applicable to you and me in our lives. Folks, if this Bible and the accounts that we read in the Bible, the truths that we read in the Bible, and the testimonies that we read in the Bible, if it doesn't become real to my life, what profit is it? But it is real. And the truth that we see in Genesis chapter 8 is the same truth that God wants us to know regarding our lives. God remembered Noah. Not that God forgot. That word remember means He was mindful of him. God wants us to understand the truth of that. That while we forget many things, we have projects that are left undone. And all of a sudden we look and, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's not our God. God never loses sight of you for one moment. Not for one moment. You remember the prodigal son? Prodigal son that went off his own direction. When he came back, what did he see? He saw the father standing on the porch, watching.
That's our Father. That's our God. But the first thing we want to see, and I have 3 points this morning, just in case you're taking notes and you're wondering if I have 3 points. I do. Number one is the truth. Number two will be the trial or the test. And number three, the triumph. But number one, the truth. And this is the truth, a truth that is established throughout Scripture. Throughout the pages of Scripture, this truth is established and given to us by God, that God remembers you and me. God remembers you and me. God remembered Noah. Look down at chapter 8 and verse number 1 and let's see. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. What that means is God all of a sudden sent another wind, and all of a sudden that wind caused those waves and the floods to slow down and stop. You remember when Jesus was in the boat, the storm was all coming up, the disciples were afraid, and Jesus, all he had to do was stand up and say, "Peace, be still," and the wind and waves obeyed him. Same thing happened here. Sent a wind. This wind caused the floodwaters to stop. The fountains also of the deep, the windows of heaven were stopped. The rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And that word abated means they began to go in the different direction. Whereas the waters had been continually coming up, at a point where they are 25 feet over the face of the earth. Now the waters had stopped and were beginning to recede instead. What a difference. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the waters of Ararat, the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually under the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain sea. Imagine what that was like. I can't begin to imagine. You've been 150 days in this ark as a flood has overwhelmed the earth, as every living soul of man and beast has died. That boat has not been sailing on a calm sea, by the way. It's not been on a pond, and it's not been in a serene setting. It's been a violent setting, a judgment setting. And all of a sudden, after 150 days, the waters are calm. Just the tops of the mountains are seen. Why? Because God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. You know, I started looking throughout the Scriptures, and over again throughout the pages of Scripture, people's lives, this truth is established once again. In Genesis 19, you don't have to turn to all these. But when God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, it says in Genesis 19:29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Genesis 30 and verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened her and opened her womb. Exodus 2 and verse 24. When Israel is in captivity in Egypt, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Judges 16 and verse 28. Samson. The end of Samson's life, when he's standing between those two pillars, he cries unto God. Samson called on the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me." And the Lord did that day. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19. Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20 verse 3. He says, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. God remembered Hezekiah. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, a thief hanging upon the cross said these words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And all throughout the pages of Scripture, all throughout history, over and over, God is just giving us this truth over and over and over again. That no matter who you are, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation, no matter how long it has gone on, whether it's 150 days in an ark, whether it's years, months, days, and it seems endless, and you're just so down and discouraged, God wants you to remember this truth, that He remembers you. Romans 5 and verse 8, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. After all the sin upon the face of the earth, God didn't forget mankind. He didn't forget you and me. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And in Genesis chapter 8, there's a truth that is established, a truth that is written and recorded in the pages of Scripture, a truth that God gives us for us today, that God does not forget you and me. He does not lose sight of us. We're not off in a closet or down in the basement or out in the garage, tucked under a blanket or shoved away somewhere, and all of a sudden, the closet door is open and God says, "Oh yeah." Mm-mm. Every day, every moment, every struggle, every challenge, every trial, every circumstance, God's remembering you. He is remembering you. And that's the truth that establishes. First four words, and God remembered Noah. God remembers you. He remembers your children. He remembers the things that you're praying about. He remembers them even when you give up and stop praying. He still remembers. I've found in my life that many times, the times when prayer is answered is just about when I've given up. Haven't you seen that? You're just about giving up on praying. You're just about, nah. And then all of a sudden there's an answer and say, "Yeah, Lord is faithful, isn't He?" And God remembers. But then I want you to come down, because that's the first point. But I want you to come down to verse number 6. Because then it says this, and as you read through these, the times that are mentioned, the days and the months, and they're all mentioned in regard to not necessarily just calendar wise, but more, they're mentioned event wise. This event takes place, and then there's so many days to this event. That's how we think of things a lot of times. But look what it says. Verse number six, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark, pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. That word abated by the means that they were starting to go down. They were decreasing. And you've been 150 days in the ark, and the water has been coming up. I mean, they've been coming up from sea level to 25 feet above the tallest peak. And then it stops. In verse 6 down to verse number 11, Noah's going to find out that the waters are receding. But it's interesting because in verse number 6 it says, came to pass at the end of 40 days. 40 days. And here we see, second of all, the trial. The trial or the test for Noah, not for God, but for Noah. Because you see, the truth is established, and truth never changes. The truth that God gives in His Word, nothing can change the truth. And the truth is this: God remembered Noah. But many times, the truth is established, and in fact, you know, Jeremiah chapter 29, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's what the Lord said. The Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, I know my thoughts toward you. And I know every step of the way. I know every plan. I know every purpose. And I know the end that I have for you. He says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things. And God remembered Noah. But you see, in verse 6 down through verse number 12, it's not about the truth being established. It's about us being assured in our lives that that truth is for us as well. Because along the way, we need assurance of that truth, don't we? Right? Yeah, we do. Over and over. He knows our frame. He says, I know your frame, it's but dust. He says, I know how weak you are. I know how frail you are. He understands all about us. And it wasn't that God needed to know about remembering Noah. God remembered Noah. Verse 6 down through verse 12 is about Noah needing to know that God remembered. You stop and think, you've been in this ark for 150 days. And now the waters have stopped. You look out the window, and yes, you may see the wind has stopped, the rain has stopped, the waters have stopped. But you're in an ark. And you're 25 feet above the peaks. And it could be that you're wondering, where do we go from here? What's next? Yeah, I'm safe in the ark. But I only got enough food from McDonald's for 150 days. What happens when the food runs out? What happens when all of a sudden the provisions are gone? I remember one time sitting down with Vern. Vern telling me about what it was like on a submarine in the kitchen as a chef. And he was telling me how much organization goes into packing that kitchen with food that is needed for 3 months or 6 months on a sub. It's not that they just throw everything in the food locker and say, yeah, we'll get it. No. They organize every meal from the first day to the last day. And they put the last day's provisions in the very back. Can you imagine this? You're talking 6 months of provisions for a whole group of men on a submarine. And they have to organize everything everything from the last day way in the back all the way to the first day up by the front. And he was just explaining how much organization and care and detail goes into just packing the food on a submarine so that every day those guys are fed. Well, think about what it's like on an ark, 150 days, and the flood has stopped. The waters have stopped. It's calm. But you're sitting in an ark on the top of a mountain. And you got to wonder, what's next? Because if those waters don't come down, if those waters don't recede, what are you going to do? Forty days is always a time in the Bible of testing, of searching. You remember it was in Numbers 13 when Moses would send those spies into the land to check it out, to see if it was as God said. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. They searched land for 40 days and they came back. And they said, yes, it is just as God has said. It's just what God said. It's exactly the way that God described it. But they searched it out for 40 days. Psalm 18 and verse 30 says this, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's tested. And it has never failed. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. God's word is tested over and over and over again. It's tested in our lives. It's tested by our circumstances. It's tested by our thoughts. And yet it's perfect. It never fails. 1 Kings chapter 19 is a chapter that is it's very... a resting chapter in the Bible. Where Elijah, a great man of God, they could stand and call down fire from heaven. If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume. Fire came down and consumed. Could stand on Mount Carmel and challenge the 400 prophets of Baal. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, he's not standing up calling fire down from heaven. He's not on a mountaintop challenging and with confidence and boldness the prophets of Baal. No, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's at a point in his life where it's probably the lowest point in his life. He's worn out, he's tired, he's afraid, he's scared, he's discouraged, he's distressed, he's depressed, any way you want to look at it. He lays down under a juniper tree and says, it would be better if I just died. And then an angel of the Lord came and fed him and strengthened him. And it says, for the next 40 days and 40 nights, he went till he came to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. For 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah walked to that mountain. Went up on that mountain. It was there on that mountain that God spoke to him in a still, small voice. Quiet, calm voice. And God let him know that he was not forgotten of God. Elijah says, I'm the only one left. And God says, oh, no, 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 you're not Elijah. And God reminded Elijah that God remembered Elijah. I could change my points right now. Just thought of that. God remembered. God reminded. But I haven't come up with a third one yet. But look at verse number 6. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off. First thing, Noah sends a raven out. He says, I want to see. I want to see. I want evidence. I want to see that the waters are going down. I want to see that there's going to be dry land. I want to see that I'm going to be able to walk upon the face of the earth once again. I want to see that God is remembered. Verse 8, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. He says, I'm going to send a dove out. He says, I want to see. I have to see that the waters are going down. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him under the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Sends this dove out, and as he looks, he sends his dove out, and he sees, as far as the eye can see, water covering the face of the earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark. Stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. Look at verse 11. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. An olive leaf plucked off. But look at the last part. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Noah knew. God gave him an assurance. It wasn't dry land yet. Noah hadn't stepped out of the ark yet. He was just looking out a window. He says, I need to see. I need to know. And you know, along the way of life, when we're faced with troubles, when we're faced with challenges, the truth is this. God remembers. He doesn't forget. But along the way, it's us that need to know. God gives us assurances along the way. Gives us assurances along the way that He hasn't forgotten us. And we need to be careful, folks. We need to be so sensitive. We need to be looking and seeing those assurances along the way. Before I started having all these problems with breathing and everything else, which were very shocking to me. I've never, 64 years old, I've been healthy for 64 years. I've never had anything. I mean, I went through hip surgery and was up the same day walking. Every time I went to the doctor, he says, you're perfect. Everything's good. It's all bad. Yeah. And all of a sudden, boom. The way doctors put it sometimes, you know, I mean, I appreciate doctors, but, you know, someone ought to be a communicator for them. You know what I mean? You don't just call a guy up on a Monday morning before Christmas and say, hey, listen, don't get up off the couch. You might die. That's how it came across. Guess what? I sat on that couch. Allison, bring me a cup of water. Allison, bring me a steak. I can't move. I'm going to die. You know how what I'm saying, that sometimes when the doctor says something, it just wakes you up, doesn't it? But then I started remembering something. Started remembering how just a few weeks before that, God, through circumstances, had shown me that He had more for me to do. He gave me that assurance. And so I'm sitting there listening to the doctor, and I'm saying, but wait a minute. The Lord assured me in my heart that I'm not done yet. So if the Lord says I'm not done yet, guess what? I ain't done yet. The timer hasn't run out on the toaster oven yet. All right? It hasn't dinged yet. And along the way, God gives us assurances so that we can be confident, as it says in Philippians 1 and verse 8, being confident this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 40 days, and Noah sends out a raven, nothing. Sends out a dove, nothing. Sends out that dove again, and that dove come back. Just an olive branch. An olive branch that might have seemed so small, and sometimes the things that God does to assure us might be so small, but so significant. Might be just a phone call. Might be an email. Might be a word from someone. Might be just a circumstance. In the scheme of life, it's just one little thing that the Lord is saying, but that little one thing is to give you assurance that I remember you. Because we need it. All along the way, we need it. We need that assurance. And so there was a test. There was a trial. But then we come to the triumph. Look at verse number 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. It says he looked, and then it says, and behold. And that word behold means that that word behold is a word that it says it got your attention. It caused you to stop and pause and think and wonder and behold, behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dry. And the triumph. The truth was established. God remembered Noah. But there was a trial. There was a test. And Noah needed to remember. He needed to know that God remembered. And God gave him that assurance. And then one day, Noah looked down, and behold, dry ground. And Noah saw that God remembered. It was no longer just knowing the truth. It was no longer just seeing a little assurance. He saw the full reality of the truth that God had remembered him. God did remember. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Acts chapter 12. Favorite for me because it wasn't me going through it. But it was Peter. Peter's arrested and put in prison, and he's told that the next day he's going to be killed. What faith Peter had, because Peter went to sleep. Ask yourself this question, would you have such faith? But the exciting part is this. In the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord comes, wakes Peter up, says, come on, follow me. And they start going out through the prison. If you've ever been in a prison, you know it doesn't work this way. Right, Ray? Doors don't just open and shut when you're standing there. So Peter's walking out, doors open, doors open, doors open. Pretty soon he's on the street. And at that point, Peter says this. He says, now I know. He says, I know God has delivered me. He goes and knocks on the door of a home where he knows the disciples and the church is praying. And they're in amazement. Peter says, I know. Now I know of a surety that God has sent his angel to deliver me. Oh, it was a
few chapters later in Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul is on a ship. Apostle Paul's on a ship and all the men are scared for their life and they said, we're going to die. We haven't seen the sun in 3 days. We've thrown every weight off the ship. We've thrown ropes on it. We've done everything we can to preserve the life of the ship and our lives. And Paul stands up in the middle of that storm. Another favorite passage of Scripture. I just love it. Be of good cheer. Can you imagine all these men standing there? And here's this guy stands up, Paul. They've done everything. They're fearing for their life and they're going to die. Paul says, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be as he has told me. You see, Paul knew that God had told him that he would stand before kings and preach the gospel in Rome. Paul says, I haven't been there and done that yet, so guess what? We aren't going down with the ship. Because I believe God. And guess what? They didn't die.
And all of a sudden they found themselves standing on an island. And they saw and they knew God had remembered Paul. But turn to 1 John chapter 3. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Because here's our triumph. Oh, more than just speaking about circumstances. Here's the greatest triumph that we will realize and understand and know that God has remembered us in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, there's coming a day where we're going to stand in the presence of God and with our own eyes, as Job said, as we heard Pastor Donnie preach the other day, with our own eyes, we're going to behold our Savior. And at that moment, we are going to know, we are going to see the truth that was established in Genesis chapter 8, that God remembered us. Oh, he gives us assurances all along the way that we are his and he is ours. He gives us assurances all along the way that he is faithful. He gives us assurances all along the way that he hasn't forgotten us. But those assurances are so small but significant in light of that day when we are going to stand there and see the very Son of God. And we are going to know that God remembered us. You see, the truth is established. God remembers you and me. Oh, there's times of trial and testing when we need that assurance that God remembers us. And then there's times in our life and circumstances where
God delivers us.
And we say, yes, God did deliver me. God did remember. Don't ever forget those times, folks. Don't ever lose sight of them. I trust you can look back in your life and you can remember and say, boy, I remember when God delivered me and God did this and God remembered me. And that one was finished there. This one was finished there. This one was finished there. Because you know what? That gives you assurance that the Word of God is true and that one day you and I will see Jesus Christ. It was October of 1988. I was a young man. Well, he was not as young now, but a young man by the name of Bruce that God had called him in his life to go be a missionary and preach the gospel to the tribes of Colombia, the real distant tribes that had never been reached. tribes of Indians where people didn't go because they would be killed. For 28 years, he had by himself gone to these tribes, whole story about it. And he'd gone by himself to these tribes without support, he believed God, and God called him, and he went. And he went to these tribes. After about 28 years, he had seen God bless and work in marvelous ways. And tribes and people came to know Jesus Christ, their Savior. Tribal people that every time they saw a white person come near, they would shoot him with arrows and kill him. And yet God had preserved his life and put him in their midst, and they had gotten saved. There were many times in these 28 years where his faith had been tested almost unto death, but for 28 years, God had worked marvelously. In October of 1988, he's walking with some of his beloved friends and Christians from these tribes and walking through the jungles. And all of a sudden, a group of Colombian guerrillas stepped out and surrounded them. Took all the natives and all the Indians in the tribes and told them they could go, and they just took him prisoner. For 9 months, he was in amongst these guerrillas in the worst of conditions. Nothing pleasant about it. His health deteriorated, and he was treated just terribly. And then word came. There was excitement in the group of guerrillas, because the word came that the next day he was to be executed. He had gotten sick and diseased and was weak. And that night he's laying there, and the whole village, the whole group of guerrillas is excited because the next day he was going to be executed, shot. In the middle of the night, he heard a bird start to sing. It was a Merla bird. Don't ask me any more than that. But what was unusual is that it never sang in the night. These birds never sang in the night, and all of a sudden, he at first thought he was delirious. Thought maybe that he was just dreaming it. Then he started to listen, because the bird was not just chirping or singing, but these birds were, I guess, some sort of a parrot bird like that, that they always repeated what they had heard. And this bird was singing in the night, and it was singing a song that the tribal people that had gotten saved had come up with, that talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. And he's listening there in the night as he's about to be executed the next day. And he hears this bird singing, and actually the tribal people around him heard it singing. And he heard this bird singing the song of the saints of God and those tribal people about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he thought to himself, he just thought, God must have sent this bird to encourage me this night. The next day, the sun rose, and in the morning, they took him and they tied him to a tree. Tied him to a tree, and then he heard and watched as the commander chose a number of people, issued them their weapons, and gave them the rifles, and they stood there. And he watched and he heard and he listened as the commander gave the command to shoot, to execute him. And he heard the sound of gunfire, but he didn't feel anything, because all the bullets were blanks, and God had preserved his life. You see, he knew that God remembered him. But in the middle of that night, God reminded him with the song of a bird that never sang in the night, and sang a song about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it was the next day that he saw the reality of the wonderful power of God, that God did remember. Genesis 8 and verse number 1. Here's the truth, folks. God remembered Noah. And God remembers you. And God remembers me. Let's pray.